My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I wanted it to hook just enough, but you never want to see two guys get, hit two guys there in that inning to put the tying run on base, but Craig's doing this a long time and did a great job pitching out of it. You're not going to score 7 runs a night. You got to be able to win low-scoring games like this. This is a really good pitching staff, one of the best, if not the best in the league, and Kirby, if you scratch a couple runs off, that's huge, and we did a great job with that.
Really been focused on getting the changeup back, so I think we were able to accomplish that. Sprayed a lot of heaters up and away, but at least they were up in the zone, and I think that helped.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Send in your favorite female artist or band to the text line. Nolan, he'll handle it from there. Orioles, they take the first game out in Seattle, winning 2-0 last night. It was a late one. Game got started at about 9:40, ended around midnight. Low-scoring game, pitching duel, just as we expected, with George Kirby and Grayson Rodriguez on the mound, two good young pitchers, and Seattle simply having little to no offense to their name. Orioles, 2-0 win, and you heard from Brandon Hyde there, manager of the Orioles, and Grayson, who picked up his 10th win last night. Grayson improves to 10-3 on the year, 6 1/3, 2 hits given up, no runs allowed, 8 strikeouts. And the 4 walks, and it was pretty uneventful for the most part of the game, to be honest with you. Orioles did have 9 hits of their own, just weren't able to make a lot of noise when they needed it. Not the long ball was really non-existent last night. Orioles get picked off twice trying to steal second. So not a lot of offense to speak of last night, but Grayson looked really good. Had those Seattle hitters kind of in the rocking chair. You heard him talk about the fastball up and away. His changeup looked really good last night. Those guys didn't know what they were looking at, and vice versa. The Orioles, while they didn't do a lot offensively, I thought you saw some good moments. You got to see one of the at-bats that comes to mind is Santander, I think, in the 4th inning where he has the 10-pitch at bat that ends with the single. That's what you want to see. So got to see them, who the Orioles, who usually struggle at these pitches that are off-speed pitches, out-of-the-zone pitches. They're chasing a lot. Not a lot of that last night. We saw them working some counts. Still not a lot of success, but good to see them come out of the out with the win.
Well, to me, the two that struggled was Gunner and Kerstead. I think combined had six strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, the seventh inning was good with the three singles in a row and Mullins getting a clutch hit. That was big. Otherwise, Cordell, I don't recall a ball that you say that was even close to being a home run or, you know, sounded like. I mean, the only ones that, like the first batter of the game, I thought possibly could have been a home run for Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the last batters of the game was a home run, but it was foul. And we just heard Hyder say, you know, I was hoping it was going to go foul because that dude crushed that ball and that would have tied the game 2-2 in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, and that was something that I think everybody is kind of sitting there wondering what's about to happen because for Craig Kimbrel, you kind of on pins and needles when he comes in the game. And I think it was Kyle Riley who had that ball that was a near home run late in the game. It's kind of like you're waiting for it to fall apart. But Craig Kimbrel, he comes in late, hits two batters. That's definitely not what you want to see. Two of the first three batters he faces ends up getting on base due to hit by pitch. I thought they were at least the second one for sure. I thought that was borderline. I just looking at it first glance, it didn't look like he hit him, but
no.
Hiding those guys, they checked to see if they wanted to review it, and they didn't. So I guess he was touched up a little bit, but it didn't end up hurting them. Bullpen came in, did their job. Cano, even though at times he worries me, he did his part at the back end of that seventh, and then Perez comes in, does his thing in the eighth as well. So pretty pretty clean game for the Orioles pitching wise. Yesterday, hopefully the bats will be able to wake up today. Seattle, like I said, they just don't put a lot of pressure on you offensively.
What's the matter
right
with
now?
Julio Rodriguez, man? I mean, he looks like kind of lost in space.
Yeah.
And he had 32 homers last year, and they paid him out the yin yang, which was big, but he's struggling. He struck out at the end of the game. How about the two former Orioles?
Yeah.
You know, Voth and Bauman both pitched extremely well. They threw a ton of curveballs, but Voth really got out of it. Bases loaded and one out, and he got out with nothing.
Yeah, I think Kevin Brown did a good job mentioning, too, just how important Voth is to that bullpen right now, considering you see it. You know, the moment that the type of situation that they brought him into last night and how he was able to pitch. I mean, he takes down Gunnar Henderson.
That was an awesome pitch on the 3-2.
Yeah, it was. That was a really good pitch that had Gunnar fooled. I think Gunnar thought that was going to be high.
He was walking.
And it turned out to drop right back in to the zone. So, yeah, a really good pitching duel from both sides yesterday. And it's good to see the Orioles win that. This is a team that kind of has lived and died with the long ball this year. So to see them go out there, play some small ball, only score two runs, and still win this game. That's pretty good for them to show that there's other ways for them to come out with the W. Now, we'd like to see the bats wake up a little more today. But all in all, I can't complain going to Seattle, which is a tough place for opponents to go into and win. Seattle's 28-15 at home now following that loss last night. They don't lose at home very often. So for the Orioles to go out there and take game one, I thought that was huge. Nolan, what did you take away from last night's win?
Well, I thought it was funny. You know, I just got done saying on the show yesterday how, you know, the Orioles are going to have to win because of their lineup the rest of the way. And sure, they might make some pitching additions and bolster themselves there, but the lineup is going to carry them. And then they turn right around and, you know, right. win a 2-0 game. On paper, Rodriguez and Kirby, it's an even matchup. So they both go 6 1/3. And Grayson clearly wins, you know, holding them to no runs there. Kirby gives up two. And I'm just hoping, watching it, that, all right, the bullpen's been so shaky as of late. Is two runs enough? Can they make that hold up? And it was dicey there in the ninth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Cano, we give him a lot of grief. He was instrumental there finishing
the
seventh.
He was in the strike zone last night.
Perez gets another clean inning. He's been kind of stringing some quality outings together here. And You know, with Kimbrel, we'll just say survive in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be time to complain about him before the season's done. I can tell you that.
Cordell, Kimbrel, and Norm. Cordell, is Kimbrel in the All-Star game?
He's got 20 saves to this point. I mean, I don't
got
think
an
he
ugly
should
20
be. Yeah,
saves.
I don't think he should be personally, but it wouldn't shock me if he finds a way on the back end. I don't think he gets in just because of you dive deeper into his numbers. I think that'll kind of tell a different story than the overall 20 saves. But yeah, I'd be surprised if he gets in. But 20 saves isn't bad. That's fourth in all of baseball right now.
Norm, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say no.
Me too.
I don't know what factors into Bruce Bochy will make the decision. Mm-hmm. He's the American League manager for the All-Star game. But, I mean, maybe in the back of his head saying, all right, the Orioles already got like five position players going. Burns is a lock. Do they really need another one there? I mean, that's a spot that could go to, you know, somebody on a bad team, give them some shine.
What I did like last night, and this is one of my top things in baseball, is when the manager comes out to take the pitcher out and the pitcher is able to successfully argue his way to stay in the game. That's what George Kirby did last night. Now, it worked against him.
It did. He gave up the hit to Mullins.
Which, you know, he's looking for a ground ball, double play situation right there. He got it, but it was a ball that had eyes. It found the gap. It gets through and scores the run. But I always like that dynamic of the manager coming out because, you know, when they come out, you have to imagine that they have their mind made up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to the bullpen. But whatever Kirby said at that time, to get himself to stay in, I would love to hear it. And look, he I felt like he had earned the right to stay in it at that point. I mean, he is a really good pitcher, and he had pitched well to that point. Granted, they were losing, but not because of him. I thought he had pitched his butt off to that point. So kudos to Mullins coming up with a clutch hit, because for a guy like Mullins, I'm sure he's like, all right, you're going to let me go up against the righty, I'm going to take advantage of it, and that's what he did.
Yeah. Let me go back to Kimbrel for a second. Let me get your guys' opinion on this, because when Kimbrel comes in, all right, it's kind of like, I'll give you this scenario. It's like Justin Tucker kicking a field goal from inside of 50 to win the game, or, you know, Kimbrel going out there to save a game. When Tucker goes out there to kick it, I could go to the fridge and get something or whatever, because I feel extremely confident that it's good.
Yeah.
When Kimbrel comes out there, I'm nervous. I don't know, you know, like what's going to happen now kind of thing. That's what I think, Norm.
It's all about the first batter at this point. And, you know, you hit the Cal Raleigh with that hit by pitch there. I mean, you do yourself a favor. It feels like if he gets the first guy out, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But once that guy gets on base, now Cal Raleigh, you know, maybe not most known for his speed, so you're not worried about him taking off. But the average, even an average runner, who isn't that great about stealing bases, if they get on with no outs, they're taking off against Kimbrel.
Yeah, they are. And, I mean, it seems that's kind of the case nowadays anyway. Everybody's trying to steal a base. But Kimbrel, he definitely has you sitting on the edge of your seat when he comes in. And it's a stark difference from when Felix Bautista was here. You know, he comes out there and you kind of already know it's shutdown time. It's nothing that they
can do. It's an 8-inning game.
Yeah. And he and Bautista would be thrown into some crazy situations, 6-out saves at times. I mean, it's things that I think he's definitely spoiled us with what he's been able to do over the last couple of seasons. And Kimbrel, who's had a fantastic career, and I think Kimbrel has been good. He's had his good spots. I think he's in the middle right now of kind of a good spell for him. And like Nolan said, it's only a matter of time before we're back complaining about him. I just think that's the type of year he's going to have, because
well,
that's where
try
he is
to
in
get
his career.
One. Are they going to try to get, if they can find, I mean, how do you find a closer that you're more confident in than Kimbrel, unless you're giving up the farm, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that there's going to be anybody out there. And they're paying him a pretty penny to be their closer right now. I think that they're going to look for bullpen help, and maybe down the line there's somebody that they feel like, you know, they can play the matchups with on the back end of games at times. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm going to be overly confident in Craig Kimbrel come October. I'm not. But that said, I just don't see them looking to upgrade there just because of the investment and what's going to be available.
I mean, yeah, they're probably going to be getting, at least I would prefer to get a setup guy who could, in a pinch, you know, if Kimbrell's thrown 2 days in a row, you find yourself in another close game, another guy you can rely on, because you really don't have that. I mean, Cano at times last year could be that guy.
Yeah.
That is long gone at this point. And give him credit, he strung together a couple good outings in a row. But, I mean, outside of Kimbrell, I mean, I don't see anyone in this bullpen right now that can give you 5 good outings in a row without some sort of blow up.
Yeah. The closest would have been Webb, right?
Right. And he, I mean, we're halfway through the year and he's been worked to the bone. I just don't know how long he's going to hold up. I mean, you take what you get because you're trying to win games along the way. But when we get to September, what's he going to be looking like? Right. What's his arm going to be looking like? I'm not so sure.
And I like Perez more than some other people seem to like Perez. My trust meter with him, it seems to be a lot longer than some other people have with him. But yeah, I don't mind Perez. But like you said, it's really nobody that's on this roster that I can sit there and say you put him in there in the ninth, I'm not breaking a sweat. I'm going to kind of be on the edge of my seat. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll switch gears, get to the Ravens. Mark Schiller, former offensive lineman, had some things to say about Lamar Jackson and this Ravens team. He's tired of the excuses. He's tired of the Ravens not fulfilling their goal in January. We'll hear what he had to say, and we'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Don't worry about that in 1819.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Mark Schiller, former offensive lineman for the then Redskins. Did he play for the Broncos too?
Oh, he was all the Super Bowl teams with the Broncos.
Yeah, so, you know, he's been around for quite a bit, spent some time on ESPN, and he's got a podcast now, and He had some strong words for the Ravens and one Lamar Jackson, mostly, at least I felt like listening to the cut, I felt like it was mostly shot at Lamar Jackson. But let's hear what Mark had to say.
I do not want to hear from all of you out there that are telling me that Lamar Jackson, well, they don't get him weapons. How many first-round wide receivers do you need to draft? Well, they're not drafting the right one. Well, you're not developing them. Well, how do you develop them? Well, your quarterback has a long way to go in developing wide receivers. So I don't want to hear that bullshit from you anymore. Any of you Baltimore fans, I'm tired of it. They drafted first round talent. They've drafted tight ends in the first round. They've drafted three different wide receivers since 2018. Aaron Rodgers went, 16, 17 years with the Green Bay Packers? They never drafted a guy in the first round, whether it was a tight end or a wide receiver for him.
That audio courtesy of the Stinking Truth podcast. Vinny, I'm going to let you go first.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, the thing that I look at is, you know, they're talking about Lamar, and basically Lamar in the playoffs, because, I mean, who's won two MVPs out of their first 4 years? That's the thing. And, you know, if you say you want to blame Lamar for the playoff losses, the first one against Tennessee, to me, that wasn't Lamar's fault. The defense didn't stop anybody. Lamar, you know, did he fumble and did he throw an interception? Yeah, off of Andrews and stuff, but it was on the plus 20. And then Tennessee took the ball, went 80. So, you know, your defense got to help you out a little bit there too. Kansas City game. Like you said, Cordell, he had a tweaked hammy there. So, and he threw it way too much. They didn't run it. You know, is that on Lamar? I thought they had an outstanding group of receivers this past. I thought this past year, probably the best they had. Bateman was non-existent. But look at how Likely stepped up. You know, and then when we're going into this next season, you got Likely, who showed that he became a player. You got Andrews, so you got two tight ends. You got Zay Flowers, who had an awesome rookie year. You got Aguilar, who did a good job as a number three, basically.
/4.
Yeah. Well, really, because
you got
Aguilar and Odell. Aguilar and Odell were 2/3.
Right.
And then both could be 3/4. You know, and then you got Bateman, who's got to step up, and then you got Williams, who's got a chance. So I don't think that the weapons are bad at all. I think what's hurt Lamar in the past too was scheme. You know, I mean, the scheme. Why was the scheme so great? The run scheme and stuff so great in 19. They were doing something that nobody in the NFL has ever seen. That's why. I mean, he had 37 touchdown passes in that. So they had to stop the run because the Ravens' run game was like the greatest in the history of football. So they're putting more people in. So you're taking advantage of those situations. I think Lamar's going to throw for over 4,000 yards, and he's going to have a chance. You know, he's going to be in the conversation for MVP. Will they give it to him back-to-back? He has to have a totally dominant season to do that, to go back to back.
I feel like when Mark, a lot of the things Mark said needed context. To insinuate that just because somebody is drafted in the first round that means that they're all world, that they're supposed to be great, is nonsense. We've seen plenty of people overdrafted throughout the years, and the Ravens, the receivers that they did draft, you want to go to Hollywood, who did good with Lamar. He left because he didn't like the scheme. You had Rashad Bateman, who is still a work in progress, and it's a lot of reasons why Rashad Bateman hasn't fulfilled his potential to this point, predominantly because of lost time between he and Lamar both getting hurt multiple times over the last few seasons, and last year Bateman just not being a big part of the game plan. Zay this past year had a monster year. So who I'm trying to figure out who are these receivers that Mark Shalaire is saying that Lamar isn't developing, because Isaiah Likely has looked good. Isaiah Likely is a fourth round tight end, second. He's a backup tight end who has looked outstanding when he's gotten opportunities. Mark Andrews has been an all pro.
They're not going to be able to afford to keep him. That's how good he's be.
Honestly, it's a storm brewing with that Isaiah Likely situation. So that's the part that he loses me on there. And then it's like, all right, I get it. Everybody wants to go blame the quarterback for everything. I'm not going to sit here and act like Lamar should be absolved of blame from what happened in the AFC Championship game. He didn't have a good day. It was probably his worst game of the season. There's no debating that. But forgive me, it's just hard for me when we start going to the list of people to blame over the course of what happened, what went wrong over the course of a season or something. I'm not, the first person I'm going to isn't the two-time MVP. I'm just not. And I'm not going to act like all those years with Greg Roman, albeit that year, the 2019 year was fantastic, fantastic. After that, it starts to slowly decline. It was receivers that did not want to come to Baltimore because they didn't want to be a part of that system. Context matters. You can't just ignore those things that have happened. And this has not been and let's go beyond Lamar. What receivers have the Ravens developed throughout their history? I mean, this has been one of the poorest franchises in terms of having premier wide receiver talent. And then lastly, last year, Lamar asked them to either go get OBJ or DeAndre Hopkins. Even that, like you said, Vinny, that was probably Lamar's best year in terms of the weapons around him. Yeah. And even that, they didn't have the best pass catchers in the division. In their division, I don't think they had the best pass catchers. He asked you for either OBJ or D-Hop. You go and get the lesser of the two. D-Hop had a pretty good year with the Titans despite quarterback, you know, still trying to figure out their quarterback situation. I think D-Hop would have helped them a lot more last year than OBJ did. D-Hop could still help them this year. So, forgive me. I just don't think that they have done everything right when it comes to the wide receiver position.
Let me ask you this. Is this development when I say, okay, a receiver caught his rookie year 46, then 58, then 91. Is that development?
That's pretty good.
That's Marquise Brown.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then he goes to Arizona, 67 and 51.
Mm-hmm.
Is that development? No, that's going backwards.
An air raid offense.
Yeah.
And context even matters there. Kyler Murray is hurt quite a bit during that time. I get it. But this notion that, I feel like if anything, Lamar, and his knocks that people can have on him, sure, he needs to improve as an on-time passer, needs to improve his deep ball.
Yes.
No doubt about it. But my thing is, I feel like he has gotten more out of less than most quarterbacks in this league. He brought up Aaron Rodgers. We're going to sit here and act like Aaron Rodgers didn't have guys like Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams, whether they're first-round draft picks or not. Davante Adams at one point was the best receiver in football. Like, what are we talking about right now? That Lamar hasn't had those types of guys. You look at what Houston's doing with C.J. Stroud while he's on a rookie deal, getting him every weapon possible. The Bills did it with Josh Allen. Like, that's not what Lamar has had to do. He's had to kind of elevate the people around him, where I feel like some of these other quarterbacks, they've elevated people around them as well, but they've also had premier wide receivers that also make them look good.
You know what's going to be interesting is this year, because I would imagine both of us say, you know, can you name Buffalo's wide receivers?
Yeah, won't be able to name any.
Right. So, I mean, that's going to be – he's got to bring them along. Now, Mahomes, he's in a different category.
For sure. No doubt about it. No doubt about
he
it.
He had nobody in.
No doubt about
and
it.
And he didn't have a great year.
Right.
But they found a way
to win.
They found a way.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take some of your calls. 410-583-1057 is the number. How do you feel about what Mark Shalaire had to say about Lamar and the Ravens? Do you agree with them? You disagree? Let us know. That's next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. My guy Nolan Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock on this Woman Crush Wednesday on 105.7 The Fan. We are talking a little bit about what Mark Shalaire had to say on his podcast about the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. What's it? What's the podcast called again?
The Stinking Truth.
Stinking Truth.
His nickname, Stink.
Right. So the Stinking Truth. So he feels like the Ravens and Lamar are out of excuses. Lamar has had plenty of weapons, despite, I guess, what some people have had to say about that. He's tired of the excuses of, you know, Lamar not fulfilling everything he needs to do in the postseason, and the Ravens, for that matter, as well. So how do you guys feel about that? 410-583-1057. Let's go to Andre and Owens Mills. Andre, you on the Fan.
All right. How y'all doing today?
Not great, bad. Andre.
Okay, y'all only call in when they diss my boy, right? Now, to me, this guy, I'm gonna call it from way what I feel. He's another jealous person that's talking about Lamar, and to me, it's slander. Because if you look at Lamar, when he threw the let the league in touchdowns, Lamar didn't have the receivers he had with nobodies, and Lamar made our team great.
They were good blockers. They were good blockers.
Yes, but he led the league in touchdowns. So he said he's not developing. So that's not true. And for him to say that we complaining, we ain't doing no complaining. But Lamar didn't have receivers. That was the truth. So they did. They drafted the tight end. They drafted Likely, and he said we ain't developing nobody. He must ain't see Zay Flowers play. Mm-hmm. I mean, he must not be watching the Baltimore Ravens. I'ma call him like it is. Now, I don't want to get on here and say he's an undercover racist for saying that about the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I'm going to call it like I said. And I only call in your show because y'all won't cut me off. If I had said this on the morning show, they would cut me off. And Rob saying it was true. It's not true because he led the NFL in touchdowns with no receivers. And Lamar, the plays that Lamar make on a football field, it's second to nobody. You got two MVPs, and then you're throwing dirt on the MVPs. So you're really attacking the writers and saying they don't know what they're doing. You're attacking the NFL and saying they wrong about Lamar, and you still saying he can't do this and can't do that, and he don't cost every.
Let me ask you this: in 2019, Willie Snead had 5 touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. Now, Willie Snead hadn't been able to play for anybody since.
Thanks for the call, Andre.
You know, Hayden Hurst had 2. Ingram had 5 touchdown passes as a running back.
Yeah, I mean,
Andrews had 10.
To say that guys aren't developing with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback has just been complete nonsense. It's too many people to name. It's too many. And you could go to that 2019 season alone. And like I said, he's a 2-time MVP, nearly a 2-time unanimous MVP, 1 vote away. Now I don't think he was a unanimous MVP this year, but
no.
the fact is he was a vote away.
Thing I would say to Stink is how long did it take Elway? Because Stink was in Denver mm-hmm. with them. So when Mike took him till when Mike Shanahan got there to win the Super Bowl, and the year, how about the year they were the best team? They lost at home to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Stink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Elway, it took Lamar's only in his what, 5th year, going into his 6th year.
I think he's going into a 7th, right?
7, yeah, because yeah. Halfway through 18.
All right.
So 7th year. All right. So I'd be anxious to see how some of those, you know, the Peyton Mannings and
they took them a while. I mean, look, I think the Mahomes era has spoiled everybody into thinking that everything's got to come like popcorn. It's got to be every
year. How about
Josh
Allen? Same thing. He gets the same crap as Lamar does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you're not keeping
Marino.
Up with Mahomes.
How about Marino?
Right. It's a lot of great quarterbacks. And the quarterback he mentioned himself, Aaron Rodgers, as great as he is, he's got 1 Super Bowl. He's got 1, as great as Rodgers is.
How about Jim Kelly? He got none.
Exactly.
I don't know. And I don't think that they probably had, neither any of those guys had 2 MVPs in their first, you know, 4-6 years or whatever. So I kind of agree with you. I think it's because of Mahomes.
Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, Cordell? What's up, Vinny?
What's up?
I'm only
calling in, Cordell, because I listen to you guys all the time. And when I hear the smart people say smart things, some of your callers I can't call in and thank, but I'll just thank them because they called in. But I'm thanking you, Cordell. Because I mentioned to a lot of people, they gave OBJ that 15 mil. In my mind, they would have did better with Hopkins. After watching both of their careers, you couldn't give me OBJ, and I would pay you to get Hopkins. Okay, now the talk of this morning on the morning show was the question, can Lamar improve? Of course, we all in life can improve on any and some things in our lives. So just because you say, oh, Lamar can improve, people shouldn't get mad. They saying, well, he's done this, he done this and done that. That don't make no sense. That's true what you say, but we all can improve on anything and everything we do. Right. We all make improvements every day in life. Okay, and then my last but not least, oh, man, you said something else, but now I forgot it because the Hopkins thing really got to me. I'm like, oh, here we go. This is what I want to say. Now, I don't know how many people have been watching the Ravens since they both got here, but if I was to ask you this question, Cordell, and it's how fast can you answer it, what was the best offense and the best tandem receiving core the Ravens have had in their history? I'm going to give you 10 seconds.
One. Best tandem, three, receiving tandem, I three. Guess.
Who was Steve Smith with?
I was about to say, who was he with?
Jacoby?
No, he was with Torrey for a couple of years.
The two Smiths wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm going to guess Joe's hinting at the Super Bowl year.
Anquan right. Boldin.
Nope, you're all wrong. Clayton. Hold up. The Gunslinger, when they had Vinny Testaverde, Michael Jackson, and Derek Alexander, they averaged 35 to 38 points a game, but they gave up 40. That was the best tandem receiving core they had, and that's when they first got here. Take it easy, fellas. Yeah,
appreciate the call,
Let me go back to, Lamar being able to improve. 18, he played half a year. Then he came in 19, had an MVP season.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Todd Monken, his first season, brand new offense, showed up late, the whole, had the contract issue, the whole deal. And in Todd's first year, MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you make the most improvements from year one to year two? I think he's going to make great strides. And the other thing is they're giving him a lot more responsibility to take control of that offense. So I think Lamar is going to make strides. The biggest thing that I see that he's got to make strides on, Cordell, and you mentioned it, the deep ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got some guys that can get deep. Bateman can get deep. Williams can get deep. They got some likely can get deep down the middle. They got some guys. He's got to be accurate throwing the deep ball. And that if he just does that, Cordell, he'll improve a ton.
And I'll say this. I mean, and I know we got to hit a break. Like you just said, we're in agreement. He has to improve. And we named the areas predominantly that he needs to improve in. But I would just also say, like, saying that he needs to improve is – he's so good right now, and I'm not saying that where he is he should stop, but everybody's going to have flaws. There's nobody that's going to be perfect. So while saying that he needs to improve, it's not many things he's got to improve on. There's things he does already that makes up for what he needs to improve on. It's this offensive line. He's rotating both tackles last year, and he's able to make the plays that he's able to make because of his ability.
Right, and the thing about it is you know this, Cordell. I mean, if you're dropping back, you're catching the ball and you're going back three steps and your back foot hits and bam, you have no we talk about he has no confidence in Bateman. You got no confidence in your left tackle because he's walking back there quicker than you getting back there. So you're nervous when you go back. When you're calling a pass play, I got to get rid of the ball. And the other thing I think he needs to improve on for this year, because of the offensive line early in the year, you got to get rid of the ball quicker. And that may be more, but I'd say it's going to be more on Monken. But if Lamar's going to be controlling all that stuff at the line of scrimmage, it's on Lamar to get rid of the ball quicker.
We'll continue to take your calls. If you're on hold, stay there. If you want to jump in, 410-583-1057 is the number. We'll take more of your calls next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney here on 105.7 The Fan on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney. Still with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw. He's behind the glass. Coming up next at 11 o'clock, we'll be joined by Gianna Hahn from the Baltimore Banner. She covers the Baltimore Ravens. We'll get her thoughts on Mark Shalera's comments and much more as training camp is less than a month away. We are here in the month of July already now, so a couple of weeks away.
10 days point. To rookies.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
And then Lamar comes on the 15th.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, let me ask you this, because I've asked Bob and I've asked other people that we've had on for the Ravens. All right, Lamar, an injured player, has got to be there on the 15th. Who would you recommend if you're the player's agents? Who would you recommend? Hey, you need to go on the 15th.
That's injured?
Nope.
Oh, you're saying this?
Because anybody can show up. Oh, okay. Veterans can show up.
Probably some of these linemen, I would say.
Rashad Bateman.
That's not going to happen.
No, but I'm just saying. That's because, I mean, Cordell, Lamar and Rashad were both in Paris together and never got together. Or not, you know, I mean,
I'm going to tell you now, I'm off of the bandwagon, the hype train, whatever you want to call it, of trying to push these two together.
Cordell, you're in the locker room all the time. What is the issue, in your opinion?
Honestly, it's as dumbfounding to me as it is to everybody else. I think that they like each other personally. I don't think it's a thing where they, you know, genuinely don't like each other. I do think they like each other. I just think it's a situation. Maybe it's like, you know how you're cool with your friends, but you may not be able to work with some of your friends. You know, it may be something like that, where, because just looking at the work relationship, I'll compare it to Aguilar. Just Aguilar, who's like we said, the third, fourth receiver
right
on the depth chart. Aguilar and Lamar have a disconnect. They come right up to each other and they talk it out. Lamar's letting them know what he saw. Aguilar talks it out with him, and then he processes it and they get on the same page. Lamar and Bateman have an incomplete pass. Bateman's going to slow walk it
yep.
back to the huddle. He may take his helmet off. He may need a timeout. You know, he may need to just step off to the side. But there's no communication on what just happened. And then you start to see sometimes that they go and it just happens all over again. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I 100% agree with you, because the body language tells you the whole thing.
Yep.
And Cordell, who was on video the other day throwing with Lamar?
Nelly.
Yep.
I think Tez Walker was out there.
Yeah, Tez Walker. Yes. Yep.
Let's grab a call real quick before we go to break. Let's go to Shiloh in West Baltimore. Shiloh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, first of all, good morning, guys. I mean, I love the show, man. Cornell, you're on Vinny, a good hooker. I miss my man, Bob. Hey, let me say this, Vinny. Look. I agree with the guy that was on the podcast. I agree with him to a certain extent. It's time to stop running out of excuses. I ain't gonna lie to you. Excuses. It's time to stop running out of excuses, because I look at it like this. Now, I'm sure you guys probably agree with me. Every year, if it's not that one subject that we're talking about, we're talking about the position, the receiver position with the Ravens. It's like every year, it's always a consistent question. And for this franchise to be around, I understand we got two Super Bowls, but it's every year. So to me, it starts with the top office management. They can draft a good at certain positions, but receivers.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. My guy Nolan Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock on this Woman Crush Wednesday on 105.7 The Fan. We are talking a little bit about what Mark Shalareth had to say on his podcast about the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. What's it? What's the podcast called again?
The Stinking Truth.
Stinking Truth.
His nickname, Stink.
Right. So the Stinking Truth. So he feels like the Ravens and Lamar are out of excuses. Lamar has had plenty of weapons, despite, I guess, what some people have had to say about that. He's tired of the excuses of, you know, Lamar not fulfilling everything he needs to do in the postseason, and the Ravens, for that matter, as well. So how do you guys feel about that? 410-583-1057. Let's go to Andre and Owens Mills. Andre, you on the Fan.
All right. How y'all doing today?
Not great, bad. Andre.
Okay. Y'all only call in when they diss my boy, right? Now, to me, this guy, I'm going to call it from way what I feel. He's another jealous person that's talking about Lamar. And to me, it's slander, because if you look at Lamar, when he threw the let the league in touchdowns, Lamar didn't have the receivers he had with nobodies, and Lamar made our team great.
They were good blockers.
Yes, but he led the league in touchdowns. So he said he's not development. So that's not true. And for him to say that we complaining, we ain't doing no complaining. But Lamar didn't have receivers. That was the truth. So they did. They drafted the tight end. They drafted Likely. And he said we ain't developing nobody. He must ain't see Zay Flowers play. Mm-hmm. I mean, he must not be watching the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to call him like it is. Now, I don't want to get on here and say he's an undercover racist for saying that about the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I'm going to call it like I said. And I only call in your show because y'all won't cut me off. If I had said this on the morning show, they would cut me off. And Rob saying it was true. It's not true, because he led the NFL in touchdowns with no receivers. And Lamar, the plays that Lamar make on a football field, it's second to nobody. You got two MVPs, and then you're throwing dirt on the MVPs. So you're really attacking the writers and saying they don't know what they're doing. You're attacking the NFL and saying they wrong about Lamar, and you still saying he can't do this and can't do that, and he don't cost every.
Let me ask you this. In 2019, Willie Snead had 5 touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. Now, Willie Snead hadn't been able to play for anybody since.
Thanks for the call, Andre.
You know, Hayden Hurst had 2. Ingram had 5 touchdown passes as a running back.
Yeah, I mean,
Andrews had 10.
To say that guys aren't developing with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback has just been complete nonsense. It's too many people to name. It's too many. And you could go to that 2019 season alone. And like I said, he's a 2-time MVP, nearly a two-time unanimous MVP, one vote away. Now, I'm not. I don't think he was a unanimous MVP this year. But no. The fact is, he was a vote away.
Thing I would say to Stink is how long did it take Elway? Because Stink was in Denver mm-hmm. with them. So when Mike Shanahan got there to win the Super Bowl, and the year, how about the year they were the best team? They lost at home to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Stink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Elway, it took – Lamar's only in his, what, fifth year? Going into his sixth year?
I think he's going into a seventh, right?
Seven, yeah, because halfway through 18.
Right.
So seventh year. All right. So I'd be anxious to see how some of those – you know, the Peyton Mannings and
mm-hmm. – Oh, they took them a while. I mean, look, I think the Mahomes era has spoiled everybody into thinking that everything's got to – come like popcorn. It's got to be every
year. How about Josh Allen? Same thing. He gets the same crap as Lamar does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you're not keeping
Marino.
Up with Mahomes.
How about Marino?
Right. It's a lot of great quarterbacks. And the quarterback he mentioned himself, Aaron Rodgers, as great as he is, he's got one Super Bowl. He's got one, as great as Rodgers is.
How about Jim Kelly? He got none.
Exactly.
I don't know. And I don't think that they probably had, neither any of those guys had two MVPs in their first, four, 6 years or whatever. So I kind of agree with you. I think it's because of Mahomes.
Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, Cordell? What's up, Vinny?
What's up?
Calling in, Cordell, because I listen to you guys all the time. And when I hear the smart people say smart things, some of your callers I can't call in and thank, but I'll just thank them because they called in. But I'm thanking you, Cordell, because I mentioned to a lot of people, they gave OBJ that $15 million. In my mind, they would have did better with Hopkins. After watching both of their careers, you couldn't give me OBJ, and I would pay you to get Hopkins. Okay, now the talk of this morning on the morning show was the question, can Lamar improve? Of course, we all in life can improve on any and some things in our lives. So, just because you say, oh, Lamar can improve, people shouldn't get mad. They saying, well, he's done this, he done this and done that. That don't make no sense. That's true what you say, but we all can improve on anything and everything we do. Right. We all make improvements every day in life. Okay, and then my last but not least, oh, man, you said something else, but now I forgot it because the Hopkins thing really got to me. I'm like, oh, here we go. This is what I want to say. Now, I don't know how many people have been watching the Ravens since they both got here. But if I was to ask you this question, Cordell, and it's how fast can you answer it, what was the best offense and the best tandem receiving core the Ravens have had in their history? I'm going to give you 10 seconds.
One, best tandem, two, receiving tandem, I three. Guess.
Who was Steve Smith with?
I was about to say, who was he with?
Jacoby?
No, he's with Torrey for a couple of years.
Torrey Smith and Steve, the two Smiths wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm going to guess Joe's hinting at the Super Bowl year.
Anquan right. Boldin.
Nope, you're all wrong. Clayton. Hold up. The Gunslinger, when they had Vinny Testaverde, Michael Jackson, and Derek Alexander, they averaged 35 to 38 points a game, but they gave up 40. That was the best tandem receiving core they had, and that's when they first got here. Take it easy, fellas. Yeah,
appreciate the call,
Let me go back to, you know, Lamar being able to improve. 18, he played half a year. Then he came in 19, had an MVP season.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Todd Monken, his first season, brand new offense, showed up late, the whole, you know, had the contract issue, the whole deal. And in Todd's first year, MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you make the most improvements from year one to year two? I think he's going to make great strides. And the other thing is they're giving him a lot more responsibility to take control of that offense. So I think Lamar is going to make strides. The biggest thing that I see that he's got to make strides on, Cordell, and you mentioned it, the deep ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got some guys that can get deep. Bateman can get deep. Williams can get deep. They got some, likely can get deep down the middle. They got some guys. He's got to be accurate throwing the deep ball. And that, if he just does that, Cordell, he'll improve a ton.
And I'll say this. I mean, and I know we got to hit a break. Like you just said, we're in agreement. He has to improve, and we named the areas predominantly that he needs to improve in. But I would just also say, like, saying that he needs to improve is, he's so good right now. And I'm not saying that where he is, he should stop, but everybody's going to have flaws. There's nobody that's going to be perfect. So while saying that he needs to improve, it's not many things he's got to improve on. There's things he does already that makes up for what he needs to improve on. It's this offensive line. He's rotating both tackles last year, and he's able to make the plays that he's able to make because of his ability.
Right. And the thing about it is, you know this, Cordell. I mean, if you're dropping back, you're catching the ball and you're going back three steps and your back foot hits and bam, you have no we talk about he has no confidence in Bateman. You got no confidence in your left tackle because he's walking back there quicker than you getting back there. So you're nervous when you go back. When you're calling a pass play, I got to get rid of the ball. And the other thing I think he needs to improve on for this year, because of the offensive line early in the year, you got to get rid of the ball quicker. And that may be more, but I'd say it's going to be more on Monken. But if Lamar's going to be controlling all that stuff at the line of scrimmage, it's on Lamar to get rid of the ball quicker.
We'll continue to take your calls. If you're on hold, stay there. If you want to jump in, 410-583-1057 is the number. We'll take more of your calls next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney here on 105.7 The Fan on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney. Still with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw. He's behind the glass. Coming up next at 11 o'clock, we'll be joined by Gianna Hahn from the Baltimore Banner. She covers the Baltimore Ravens. We'll get her thoughts on Mark Shalera's comments and much more as training camp is less than a month away. We are here in the month of July already now, so a couple of weeks away.
10 days point. To rookies.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
And then Lamar comes on the 15th.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, let me ask you this, because I've asked Bob and I've asked other people that we've had on for the Ravens. All right, Lamar, an injured player, has got to be there on the 15th. Who would you recommend if you're the player's agents? Who would you recommend, hey, you need to go on the 15th?
That's injured?
Nope.
Oh, you're saying this?
Because anybody can show up. Veterans can show up.
Probably some of these linemen, I would say.
Rashad Bateman.
That's not going to happen.
No, but I'm just saying. That's because, I mean, Cordell, Lamar and Rashad were both in Paris together and never got together.
I'm going to tell you now, I'm off of the bandwagon, the hype train, whatever you want to call it, of trying to push these two together.
Cordell, you're in the locker room all the time. What is the issue, in your opinion?
Honestly, it's as dumbfounding to me as it is to everybody else. I think that they like each other personally. I don't think it's a thing where they, genuinely don't like each other. I do think they like each other. I just think it's a situation. Maybe it's like, how you're cool with your friends, but you may not be able to work with some of your friends. It may be something like that, because just looking at the work relationship, I'll compare it to Aguilar. Just Aguilar, who's like we said, the third, fourth receiver on the depth chart. Aguilar and Lamar have a disconnect. They come right up to each other and they talk it out. Lamar's letting them know what he saw. Aguilar talks it out with him, and then he processes it and they get on the same page. Lamar and Bateman have an incomplete pass. Bateman's going to slow walk it back to the huddle. He may take his helmet off. He may need a timeout. He may need to just step off to the side, but there's no communication on what just happened. And then you start to see sometimes that they go and it just happens all over again. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I agree with you. I 100% agree with you, because the body language tells you the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Cordell, who was on video the other day throwing with Lamar?
Nelly.
Yep.
I think Tez Walker was out there.
Yeah, Tez Walker. Yes. Yep.
Let's grab a call real quick before we go to break. Let's go to Shiloh in West Baltimore. Shiloh, you're on The Fan.
Hey, first of all, good morning, guys. I mean, I love the show, man. Cornell, you're on Vinny, a good hooker. I miss my man, Bob. Hey, let me say this, Vinny. Look, I agree with the guy that was on the podcast. I agree with him to a certain extent.
it's time to stop running out of excuses. I ain't gonna lie to you. Excuses. It's time to run out, stop running out of excuses, because I look at it like this. Now, I'm sure you guys probably agree with me. Every year, if it's not that one subject that we're talking about, we're talking about the position, the receiver position with the Ravens. It's like every year, it's always a consistent question. And for this franchise to be around, I understand we got two Super Bowls, but it's every year. So to me, it starts with the top office management. They can draft a good at certain positions, but receivers, to me, they suck. Torrey Smith, and I'm going to see what Zay Flowers got this year, was the best thing they ever drafted. And the whole time the Ravens came back here, for some reason, they don't do good at that position. And the guy said they do not develop receivers at good. And I agree with him, because it's either you don't draft good or you can't develop, especially in the type of system that you run. Now, my thing is, everybody knows Ravens is a run-first offense. They got to get away from that, because this is 2024. You know, that's why different teams, like the Kansas City of the world, whatever, they kind of like, you don't know what's going to come at you, but you know you better watch out, because they're going to come at you. But the Ravens, they get stuck on the run first and things like that. They got to get away from that. Now, I wouldn't have signed Odell to no $15 million. I agree with the call. I would never gave him $15 million, because, first of all, he cannot stay on the field. He's a good receiver when he's on the field. If you're not on the field, you can't produce. He just came off a big injury, right? And he had several other injuries, but you was desperate. You went reaching. And look what he gave you. But he's also got that big contract. Now, Bateman, now I'm going to ask that question, Vinny. When you say who need to be there at 15?
Yep.
Bateman need to be there.
I agree.
He needs to be there because, and I'm going to tell you why him and Lamar not tight, because when you're talking about your Batman and your Robin, it's Lamar and it's Andrews. Now, Zay Flowers might going to be right there, but they don't have a connection, because they never could connect, because, once again, Bateman can't stay on the field.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, and I think that last point is kind of what it is. It's not just Bateman not being able to stay on the field. I think it's been some overlapping times where Lamar has had health issues as well. But there is something to be said that guys like Likely can jump in and get that relationship with Lamar. Zay was able to do it. Nelly was able to do it. Still to this point, we're still hoping and waiting for the Bateman and Lamar connection to develop.
Well, the thing that you notice is, as soon as the season was over, Harbs, Eric, and then just now Mark Andrews, nobody needs to, you don't hear anything about the rookie Zay Flowers, you know, like, oh, we expect a big year. No, Bateman. Whoa. We're going to have a big year from Bate this year. Everybody is pumping him up. Now, in the media, they're pumping him up because they know that he is a big part of it. If he can play well, that's why they probably paid him a little bit too.
Let me ask you this. I know we got to go. We'll go to break, but just a yes or no. To this point, we've had OTAs, we've had mini camp. To this point,
no.
From what you've seen,
no.
It doesn't back up what they've said to this point about this being Bateman's year. What you've seen on the field.
We talked about it. Yeah, ask Norm. We had a guest. I can't remember who it was. We had Ravens guest on yesterday, and I says, I've been to four. You've been to all of them. I've been to four. Two OTAs, he wasn't there. The two mini camp practices, I didn't go to the third one, but the two ones I went to, other than the time that he beat Marlon Humphrey deep, I didn't notice him.
Yeah. And I'll say his last day of mini camp was his best day. He was all over the place.
Yeah,
I'll give him that. Yeah, they didn't have helmets on, so I guess so. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Gianna Hahn from the Baltimore Banner, talk some Ravens with her. How does she feel about the way that the Ravens have developed their receivers over the past few years? We'll ask her next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney here on 105.7 The Fan on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney. Still with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw. He's behind the glass. Coming up next at 11 o'clock, we'll be joined by Gianna Hahn from the Baltimore Banner. She covers the Baltimore Ravens. We'll get her thoughts on Mark Shalera's comments and much more as training camp is less than a month away. We are here in the month of July already now, so a couple of weeks away.
10
at this
days
point.
To rookies.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
And then Lamar comes on the 15th.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, let me ask you this. because I've asked Bob and I've asked other people that we've had on for the Ravens. All right, Lamar, an injured player, has got to be there on the 15th. Who would you recommend if you're the player's agents? Who would you recommend? Hey, you need to go on the 15th.
That's injured?
Nope.
Oh, you saying this?
Because anybody can show up. Oh, okay. Veterans can show up.
Probably some of these linemen, I would say.
Rashad Bateman.
That's not going to happen.
No, but I'm just saying. That's because, I mean, Cordell, Lamar and Rashad were both in Paris together and never got together. Or not, you know, I mean.
I'm going to tell you now, I'm off of the bandwagon, the hype train, whatever you want to call it, of trying to push these two together.
Cordell, you're in the locker room all the time. What is the issue, in your opinion?
Honestly, it's as dumbfounding to me as it is to everybody else. I think that they like each other personally. I don't think it's a thing where they, you know, genuinely don't like each other. I do think they like each other. I just think it's a situation. Maybe it's like, you know how you're cool with your friends, but you may not be able to work with some of your friends. You know, it may be something like that, where, because just looking at the work relationship, I'll compare it to Aguilar. Just Aguilar, who's like we said, the third, fourth receiver
right
on the depth chart. Aguilar and Lamar have a disconnect. They come right up to each other and they talk it out. Lamar's letting them know what he saw. Aguilar talks it out with him, and then he processes it and they get on the same page. Lamar and Bateman have an incomplete pass. Bateman's going to slow walk it
yep
back to the huddle. He may take his helmet off. He may need a timeout. You know, he may need to just step off to the side, but there's no communication on what just happened. And then you start to see sometimes that they go and there's, it just happens all over again. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I 100% agree with you, because the body language tells you the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Cordell, who was on video the other day throwing with Lamar?
Nelly.
Yep.
I think Tez Walker was out there.
Yeah, Tez Walker. Yes. Yep.
Let's grab a call real quick before we go to break. Let's go to Shiloh in West Baltimore. Shiloh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, first of all, good morning, guys. I mean, I love the show, man. And I love Cornell. You know, Vinny, a good hooker. I miss my man, Bob. Hey, let me say this, Vinny. Look, I agree with the guy that was on the podcast. I agree with him to a certain extent. It's time to stop running out of excuses. I ain't going to lie to you. Excuses. It's time to stop running out of excuses, because I look at it like this. Now, I'm sure you guys probably agree with me. Every year, if it's not that one subject that we're talking about, we're talking about the position, the receiver position with the Ravens. It's like every year it's always that consistent question. And for this franchise to be around, I understand we got two Super Bowls, but it's every year. So to me, it starts with the top office management. They can draft good at certain positions, but receivers, to me, they suck. Torrey Smith, and I'm going to see what Zay Flowers got this year, was the best thing they ever drafted. And the whole time the Ravens came back here, for some reason, they don't do good at that position. And the guy said they do not develop receivers at good. And I agree with him, because it's either you don't draft good or you can't develop, especially in the type of system that you run. Now, my thing is, everybody know Ravens is a run-first offense. They got to get away from that, because this is 2024. You know, that's why different things like the Kansas City of the world, whatever, they kind of like, you don't know what's going to come at you, but you know you better watch out, because they're going to come at you. But the Ravens, they get stuck on the run first and things like that. They got to get away from that. Now, I wouldn't have signed Odell to no $15 million. I agree with the call. I would never gave him $15 million, because first of all, he cannot stay on the field. He's a good receiver when he's on the field. If you're not on the field, you can't produce. He just came off a big injury, right? And he had several other injuries, but you was desperate. You went reaching. And look what he gave you. But he's also got that big contract. Now, Bateman, now I'm going to ask that question, Vinny. When you say who need to be there at the 15?
Yep.
Bateman need to be there.
I agree.
He needs to be there, because, and I'm going to tell you why him and Lamar not tight, because when you're talking about your Batman and your Robin,
it's Lamar and it's Andrews. Now, Zay Flowers might going to be right there, but they don't have a connection because they never could connect because, once again, Bateman can't stay on the field.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, and I think that last point is kind of what it is. It's not just Bateman not being able to stay on the field. I think it's been some overlapping times where Lamar has had health issues as well. But there is something to be said that guys like Likely can jump in and get that relationship with Lamar. Zay was able to do it. Nelly was able to do it. Still to this point, we're still hoping and waiting for the Bateman and Lamar connection to develop.
Well, the thing that you notice is, as soon as the season was over, Harbs, Eric, and then just now Mark Andrews, nobody needs to, you don't hear anything about the rookie Zay Flowers, you know, like, oh, we expect a big year. No, Bateman. Whoa. We're going to have a big year from Bate this year. Everybody is pumping him up. Now, in the media, they're pumping him up because they know that he is a big part of it. If he can play well, that's why they probably paid him a little bit too.
Let me ask you this. I know we got to go. We'll go to break, but just a yes or no. To this point, we've had OTAs, we've had mini camp. To this point,
no.
From what you've seen,
no.
It doesn't back up what they've said to this point about this being Bateman's year. What you've seen on the field.
We talked about it. Yeah, ask Norm. We had a guest. I can't remember who it was. We had Ravens guest on yesterday, and I says, I've been to four. You've been to all of them. I've been to four. Two OTAs, he wasn't there. The two mini camp practices, I didn't go to the third one, but the two ones I went to, other than the time that he beat Marlon Humphrey deep, I didn't notice him.
Yeah. And I'll say his last day of mini camp was his best day. He was all over the place.
Yeah,
I'll give him that. Yeah, they didn't have helmets on, so I guess so. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Gianna Hahn from the Baltimore Banner, talk some Ravens with her. How does she feel about the way that the Ravens have developed their receivers over the past few years? We'll ask her next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.